Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is May 8th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones too, and we are both of McFlugel.com. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/38, where you will find links to some of the things we're talking about here, as well as ways to subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to our email list, and find us on Facebook and Twitter. So with that, I'm going to hand it right over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce our topic.
Thank you, Rollo, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We're kind of calling an audible this week. So Rollo wrote a blog post over the weekend on a Chester County mushroom farm that was raided by ICE. As the story goes on Philly.com, there was no warrant. The owner of the property didn't know ICE was there. We're not sure how they got on the property, but they brought pictures of four people, showed them to some employees. Nobody had ever seen these people, knew where they were, or had heard of them, or had any idea who they were. Yet about a dozen people got arrested. Most of them, if not all, had no violent background at all. They were rounded up, sent to prison to be deported. And Rollo wrote about it, and we got a commenter. So first, Mr. Commenter, thank you for checking out the site and giving your thoughts. It's a little long. I'm going to read it, though, because we thought it would make an interesting podcast episode. So I'll read it, pass it over to Rollo. Let's discuss. So, quote, "The area around Kennett Square, PA, is interesting. People move into new neighborhoods, then complain about the mushroom smell, and do not want illegal immigrants in the community, but have no problem using them for cheap lawn service. If you go to the local Walmart, it is sometimes hard to find employees who speak English. Most of the Mexicans I speak with are very nice people, but please do not make it sound like the illegal immigrants are just here to pick mushrooms and shop at the local Mexican food stores. They send their money they make home to their families in Mexico. They use resources like hospitals and schools. Because of the large Spanish-speaking population, they do not need to learn English, and their children burden the school system. Everyone who owns property pays the school tax, and they do not. They are able to take advantage of these services and get driver's licenses. It is also easy for drug gangs to blend in. There was a very large drug bust a few years ago in the area. The mushroom farmers get away with using cheap labor, then keeping the extra income. Mushrooms are not cheap as it is, and they could really afford to pay legal workers a decent rate. They subcontract out the hiring because they know exactly what is going on and should be held accountable for who is working on and what is going on their property. Maybe the mushroom farmers and landscape companies should pay extra taxes to help out the community with the school and medical expenses their workers are using. There's a right way to go about coming to America for work, and our culture should also be respected. They should learn English, pay taxes, and become citizens like everyone else has to. ICE is doing their job. They should not need an excuse to be looking for certain people. And they should not just be looking for violent people. Maybe instead of targeting the mushroom farms, they should go to every company and check all the employees and not single out one industry. It is unfair for them to single out that one mushroom farm. It would be nice to be open to everyone in the world and just let everyone who wants to be here come here, work here, and not pay taxes because it is humane. And everyone would be free. But that is not the reality. And there are high costs associated with living in the USA," end quote. Okay, that was a lot. But, Rollo, what are your initial thoughts? I said that with a straight. I did that whole thing. I read it without interjecting at all. I think that's pretty good.
You did a good job. I don't know if we want to just go through from the top, because there's so much stuff in here that's just...
There is. There's a lot to hit on. And we thought this would be a good podcast episode, because he basically threw it all out there. Right. I mean, that's most of what we hear from people about why ICE is doing what they're doing, and why we need to get rid of the illegal immigrants. So let's take it from the top. People move into the neighborhood, complain about mushroom smell. Do not want to, da,
da, da, da. Okay, so I'm one. Just aside, real quick, because when I moved to this area, when I was visiting the houses, I noticed a mushroom smell. So, I mean,
you can't drive through that area without noticing it.
It's pretty distinct. So I don't know. I know people complain about it, but
Well,
as far as I know, the locals don't complain about it. We kind of take it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, just don't visit there.
Yeah.
So anyway, they complain about that they want the illegal immigrants in the community. They do not want illegal immigrants in the community, but have no problem using them for cheap lawn service. I think that's interesting. If their lawn service is so cheap, you think they would want them in the community.
Right. And I've never spoken to, and this is just anecdotal on my part, but it's also anecdotal on this guy's part, but I've never met anyone in the area that's like, oh, those Mexican immigrants or illegal immigrants, whoever he's talking about. I don't think I've ever heard anyone complain about them. And they live around me. There's the town right above me. It's basically Mexico City. I go food shopping there. It's great.
So, yeah, I mean, they're just people like anyone else as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I don't know. The cheap lawn service is probably nice. I wonder, do they do a good job?
I wouldn't know because I wouldn't know because I have a tractor that I can use.
Ah, yes, $20 your way. Okay.
I didn't even plan that one.
I kind of set it up for you, I guess. Not purposely. If you go to the local Walmart, it is sometimes hard to find employees who speak English.
I get that that could be frustrating.
It can be very frustrating for someone to go into a store and no one speaks English. In the United States, I mean, you know, we grow up with a bunch of English speakers. That can be frustrating.
Sure. So why would you continue to shop there? He's acting like he's got some right to shop at Walmart and have English-speaking employees talk to him. It's like if the store he went to, if that Walmart was especially dirty or filthy or something, he walks in, I don't think he would say, we need the government to go arrest these employees because they keep a dirty store. He would just say, hey, I don't want to shop here anymore. It's dirty. So what's the difference with the store being dirty and, hey, I don't like that the employees don't speak English?
Yeah, tell the owner of Walmart that, you know, it's really frustrating to shop here. I love your store, but I can't get help because nobody speaks English.
I'll probably say sorry. I mean, I don't serve your client. You're not the clientele I serve.
Yeah, and that might be the case. He might say, yeah, I'm sorry, but, you know, there are a lot of Mexicans in this area, and they use the store all the time because we have these people. We do have English-speaking, customer service people, da-da-da, here's where you have to go. And he may just say, all right, thank you for your concern, and not do anything about it. But if he has a store, it's open, and he's earning money, and he's doing it with the employees he has, he's going to continue to operate that way.
Right.
Because that's what the market is telling him to do.
Exactly.
Okay, so next line, because I'm going to take this line by line, if you couldn't tell. Most Mexicans I speak with are very nice people, but please do not make it sound like the illegal immigrants are just here to pick mushrooms and shop at the local Mexican food stores.
I didn't say that. Or didn't make it sound like that. I said that.
No, you didn't mention anything.
I talked about the local shops and food stores, but I said it's because there's a Mexican population that those exist, and if I was making it sound like I go there and other, you know, non-immigrant local American, you know, white, whatever it is, they also shop there. I mean,
people shop there. Yeah. He's saying, but please don't make it sound like the illegal immigrants are just here to pick mushrooms and shop it. Local Mexican food stores. I guess he's implying they do something else. Oh, okay. All right. Maybe this is what he's saying. They send the money they make home to their families in Mexico. So this is something I hear a lot from people is, okay, you have these immigrants come here. They work. They get their money, and then they send it out of the country. And so the United States loses because the money wasn't spent here. What do you have to say about that? Is that a problem?
No.
Why not?
Well, first of all, I think it's good that they're helping presumably poor people, no matter where they are in the world. And when immigrants come over to the United States and send remittance back to their home countries, that lessens the need that the federal government feels to send aid over there, which
That's
never
a good point.
Gets to those people anyway. But the bigger issue is, and the thing he's talking about or referring to is that, oh, the money's not spent in the local economy or the U.S. economy. But I don't think they shop with U.S. dollars in Mexico. They have pesos. And maybe since the dollar is strong or something, that it has some value, but presumably they're exchanging.
They're going to sell their dollars or they're going to buy pesos with their dollars. And so the dollar is going to end up back here anyway. The point in it leaving the local economy, no one really cares if I take a trip to California and spend my money there. Or if my sister worked in California and I sent her money, no one would have a problem with that. But when it goes to Mexico, it's an issue.
Right. We're also talking about literally the mushroom capital of the world. So we're sending mushrooms from Kennett Square to around the world. So we're getting other country, money from people in other countries.
The local economy benefits from them being there, put it that way.
Right. So if it's bad for dollars coming out of Kennett Square to other countries, then why would other countries think it would be good to send their currency to Kennett Square? You can't have your cake and eat it too. It goes both ways.
Right.
So it can't, if it's bad for the money to be leaving Kennett Square, then it can't be good that the money's coming in.
Coming in, yeah. Actually, some people will say that's good for some reason, but that's like mercantilism. Anyway, they use resources like hospitals and schools. And that's all he says, period. So I guess they shouldn't. presuming they pay for them. Maybe they don't.
I don't know.
Because of the large Spanish-speaking population, they do not need to learn English, and their children burden the school system.
Well, don't... you made a good point about since they're... And maybe you should say it about why they don't... Illegal immigrants don't have an incentive to learn English.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, all right. I get it. It's a... Well, all right. We can take it one next step, too. Is it a problem that the people who live here are using the schools, or a problem that the schools exist to begin with the way they exist?
I would say the latter.
Yeah, because if it was all private schooling, then none of this is an issue at all. None of this is a problem. But what is there if you live in a poor town in Mexico and you're willing to risk everything, your family, the place you grew up, to come to the United States, and you find out it's really hard to come here legally, but you don't have 10 years to wait. You got to go. You got to make money. Your family is hungry. You got to go now. And so you go across the border and you find work. Part of the problem and the incentive here is that you're here illegally. There's a chance you're getting caught. Make what you can make while you can make it. Make hay while the sun shines, right? Make your money, send it back, because you're going to get caught and you're going to get deported. So what is the incentive to learn English? They're not allowed also to look for jobs. They have to go through their networks, which I'm sure are set up, and they find out. They probably cross the border and someone says, hey, there's a farm in Pennsylvania you can go work at. And they go through all the trucks or whatever, the network, to get up here. But they can't be out in the open. They can't go and apply for other jobs. They take what they can get. And what is their incentive to learn English? They're not going to be here for a long time. Or maybe they are, but they're looking over their shoulder, and they know at any moment that knock at the door can come and they're gone. So why should they learn English from their point of view?
Yeah, I mean, if I were them, I'd spend my time making money instead of trying to learn another language, and you pick up on another language when you're in another country and everyone's speaking it.
Right. I mean,
it just takes time.
If you got rid of some of these laws and stopped deporting people, maybe they would learn English. Maybe they could set up a home here and bring their family here and settle in. And it would then make sense for them to learn English, because they would certainly want to participate in the local economy and the area, and know what's coming on the news. And just like our grandparents did when they came from whatever, Poland and Italy, and a lot of them continued to speak Italian, but their kids all spoke English. And then I don't see why that wouldn't happen with Mexicans.
Right. And also, if they learn the native language, it really opens up the job market for them, because they're very restricted on what jobs they can have if they only speak Spanish.
And where they can live and what they can do, exactly. And the wage they can make, right?
Right.
Certainly. Okay, so let's move on. Everyone who owns property pays the school tax, and they do not.
Well, he's assuming that, I mean, I guess if you're an illegal immigrant, you're not owning property, which is fine, but not everyone owns property. What about renters?
Yeah, they're also living somewhere. So we're assuming they're paying some rent somewhere. Like you said, they're living on someone's property. There is no cap. I can have 25 kids if I want. My property taxes stay the same. So my point in saying that is they're living somewhere. They're living on someone's property and probably paying rent for it. And if they're not, then that person is hosting them. But someone's paying the property taxes for where they are. And it's not a per capita tax. So if I wanted to have my nephews live in my house, and I don't know the rule, actually. I don't know how this works. But presumably they have an address in this school district. They can use the public school. I don't know if that's illegal or not. Maybe that is.
I don't think so. If you become the guardian.
I don't know how it works. If I just adopted a bunch of kids.
Plus the government gives you a tax break.
Yeah. And if I don't have any kids going to public school, I still pay for it. So it's just kind of stupid.
Like what I do.
It's a stupid system. And there's all kinds of problems when you have a stupid system. So anyway, I guess the other thing is, what about people living on welfare and Section 8 housing who have kids that go to public school? I mean, maybe this guy does have a problem with them. I don't know. We're obviously not talking about them, but I don't see how it's much different.
Right, but I'm sure he's not asking for ICE or some other group to come and round them up and
throw them out.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. They are able to take advantage of these services and get driver's licenses.
Oh no, they got a driver's license. They paid a presumably local car dealership money to get a car.
Well, wouldn't you rather?
I mean, that's good. I mean, it's good they get driver's license. If he's concerned about, if anyone's concerned about, I don't want to put words in his mouth, so I'll just speak generally. If anyone's concerned about the economy, and you have more people buying stuff and everything, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it's nice to have. I mean, a record of who they. If you don't give them driver's license, it's not like they're not going to drive.
Right.
Is, I guess, what I think. I mean, you know, we could talk about licensing and all that too, but it's not like it's going to stop them. Maybe I can't imagine it's going to stop them. They're here illegally anyway. Right. And I don't know. I don't know. I know in some states you can. Can you in Pennsylvania get a driver's license if you're not a legal? I don't know that rule.
I don't know. But he thinks, I mean.
I mean, we'll take his word for it.
Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I still don't think, don't think it matters.
I actually think that would be a better thing if you're afraid that no one knows who the illegals are. If that's what your concern is, that there's these illegals here and we can't track them. And yeah. If that's your concern, right? Which it sounds like it is his concern, or maybe not. Again, I don't want to put words in his mouth. But if you're concerned that these illegals are here and we don't know about them and who they are, wouldn't it be better to have a record of them? Of course, I'm not arguing that before you twist my words, but just saying. Okay, it is also easy for drug gangs to blend in. There was a very large drug bust a few years ago in the area. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was one, but I mean, there's drug busts everywhere. There's drugs
all the time.
Everywhere.
There's drugs everywhere. Yeah, there's not a town that's not touched by drugs, I don't think. The mushroom farmers get away with using cheap labor and then keeping the extra income. Mushrooms are not cheap as it is. And they could really afford to pay legal workers a decent rate.
You were, before we went on the air, you were saying this was like the one part you agreed with.
I was hung up on this. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly what I said. No, this one kind of made me a little nuts. That's like saying, you know, someone who earns $1 million a year goes to a Ford dealership. Should he pay a Mercedes price because he can afford it? Or you go to the local convenience store with a $100 bill in your pocket and you want to buy a candy bar that's a dollar, but you should pay $20 for it because you can afford it. That's the most asinine. Okay. In fairness, not many people understand that's why we did that episode on where wages come from. But here's the deal. The farmer owns the farm and he says, anyone want to work at my farm for $2 an hour? If someone says, I do, then what's the problem?
Right. And then on the other end of it, he turns around and says, I want to sell mushrooms for $1.50 a pound, which is what I saw them at the grocery store the other day. And someone says, I do. What's the problem with that?
Yeah, I don't see a problem. So I don't know, you know, maybe this guy, I don't know what his situation is, but I have three young kids, and if he can afford, if he has a little extra savings, maybe he can afford to give me some. And he should, because he can afford it. Because why not? Because you can afford it, right? Yep. That just makes no sense. A fair wage is an agreed upon wage. If you want these people, we mentioned this earlier, if you want them, if you think that this is slave labor and slave wages, then get rid of the stupid laws that make them, air quote, illegal, or not, you don't even have to, they're illegal. Get rid of those laws so now they can shop their services around. They can go to the highest bidder. When you have these stupid rules, they're limited on what they can do. And maybe they could earn more on the market, but we don't know because of these rules.
And the fact that...
But, yeah, the fact that they take the job anyway means it's better than what they could be doing. Otherwise, they would be doing that.
Right. And there's a need. There's demand for cheap labor because for whatever the going rate was for legal workers, I don't think really many of them wanted to do it. In that Philly.com article, they even mentioned it, that mushroom farming has been a place of employment for a lot of immigrants over the years, not just Mexicans, but other nationalities too. Europeans, you know, coming over back in the day. It's tough. Manual farm labor is very tough, hard work, and it doesn't pay that well. So that's why there's so many illegal immigrants take the work, because it's not fun. It's not good. I don't want to say it's not good work, but it's hard work that doesn't pay well. Yeah, I love them. I love them too. So there's a huge incentive for that cheap labor.
But just imagine where they're coming from when word gets back to their town that I don't know what their wages are. I'm throwing out a very low rate because that's what everyone says. I have no idea how much they make. They might do really well. But word comes back to their town that says you can earn $5 an hour farming. And they go, wow, I got to do that. Let's go 2,000 miles and hide the whole way because I need to take a chance at that. People here aren't doing that. Right. You know, so I mean, how much money would it take you to move, you know, to be offered to move to Mexico? It would probably be a little more than $5 an hour.
Exactly.
But these people take risks and they want to improve their lives, and that's why they're doing it. It's what they see is their best option. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Okay, so where was I? The next point. Mushrooms can be cheap. Okay, they subcontract out hiring because they know exactly what is going on and should be accountable for who is working on and what is going on their property. Maybe the mushroom farmers and landscape companies should pay extra taxes to help out the community with the school and medical expenses their workers are using.
They already are paying taxes, and why? I don't understand why, because their employees are not, presumably not paying taxes, even though low-wage workers don't really pay taxes anyway. So that's the other point I want to make, which I don't understand this commenter's argument, is that, all right, so they're getting paid under the table or something, and so they're not paying any taxes, so they should be taxed. But even if they got paid more all the way up to minimum wage, would they be paying taxes? Because I know that's one of the big complaints among people, is that these low-income people don't actually pay taxes. So I don't know what he wants, because the
Although
reality—
Although he didn't make that argument, but—
He didn't, but it's, as he says later, it's the reality of— It is the reality that's going on, so— If you're making these immigrants pay taxes on really low wages, then it doesn't make sense that you would pick out another group making more, because we do have a graduated income tax, which is messed up and wrong. You know, I'm don't take this as me saying that, oh, I'm in favor of some taxation. I'm just trying to talk and speak within the paradigm of the tax system.
Well, yeah, but,
and how people generally see it is fairness within it, and it just this doesn't make any sense at all. I know he didn't make the argument. He didn't mention about, you know, low income workers and whether they pay taxes or not, but.
But to one of his points where I empathize with him or I can agree. Not that the company should pay extra taxes to help out the community with the school and medical expenses, but if they're using medical expenses, why should he have to pay for those medical expenses?
I agree with that.
Right. So, you know, in fairness to the commenter, he's got a good point that the people who use the services should pay for them. I don't think the best way to go about it is extra taxes to certain businesses. But maybe we should look at why he is stuck paying for those bills.
Right.
I think that's a better question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's give him some credit. I mean, I agree with him on that point. No one should pay for that person's medical bills unless they want to.
Exactly.
So then he says there is a right way to go about coming into America for work, and our culture should be respected. They should learn English, pay taxes, and become citizens like everyone else has to. Just kind of seems arbitrary.
Well, no one has to come here to work, pay taxes, and be a citizen, and then become a citizen. You can get work visas and
that happens all the time.
Right.
But, you know, I guess you would say, yeah, but there's a visa system and they do it the right way and they are here for the amount of time the visa allows them to be here and then they go home.
Actually,
which presumably
that's how most illegal immigration happens. I don't know about most, but it's how a lot of illegal immigration happens.
Yeah,
it's not
but then
that they're
he
just
would
jumping
say,
the borders. It's their they.
Yeah, they overstay their visa.
Right.
But his point is that there is a system and you should follow the rules.
Sure,
and
sure.
I'm sure he would counter with, okay, well, the ones who overstay their visas, then I should go raid their house and throw them out.
Right. Yeah, so, I didn't mean that to counter what he was saying. It was just
yeah, it's just that's funny that the actual system they put in actually probably increases illegal immigration. But it just really seems arbitrary. So someone's allowed to come here and work if they fill out the right papers, wait in line, come when they're told, do what they have to do. But if they just hop on a plane and come, it's now illegal because they didn't fill out a paper or whatever it is they're supposed to do. Just seems arbitrary.
It is.
Plus the people who come here legally and work, guess what they do with the money? They don't leave it here.
I know.
Even though they came legally. So yeah, I mean, in his situation earlier, he says it's bad that they send money home. So if the guy comes in as a legal immigrant with a work visa or as a citizen or whatever, however they're coming, a green card, then is it okay for them to send money home, or is that still bad? Or is it okay for me to shop online at stores in the UK, or should I not do that? It is all just arbitrary. It doesn't really, I don't see why it suddenly changes to a good thing because I filled out papers to come here. All right, now this last part, and this is the one that gets me pretty good. ICE is doing their job. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard they were just that was used as a defense for something? Oh, I know I learned this in history.
They were just following orders?
Oh, it was like they were on trial in some town in Germany. What was it called?
Nuggetburger?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and their defense was that they were just doing their job.
And the court said, "Oh, absolutely. That's a perfectly rational and reasonable defense."
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
so
right.
You will be found not guilty. No, it's not.
No, that's not what they said. They said that's not an excuse. That is not a good defense. Just doing your job is never a good defense for doing something that is immoral. So that line always gets me. And, you know, just want to make sure it's clear ICE is doing their job. Well, maybe they shouldn't do their job. Maybe they should quit or think about what they're doing. Of course, we haven't made the case maybe we have. But if what they're doing is immoral, then they should not do their job. Okay. Then he goes on to say, they should not need an excuse to be looking for certain people. And they should not just be looking for violent people. Maybe instead of targeting the mushroom farms, they should go to every company and check all the employees and not single out one industry. It is unfair for them to single out one mushroom farm. Wow.
That is, and I know what he was trying to do there. He was trying to, because he knew that someone might fire back with, well, if you're just picking out mushroom farms and picking out places where Mexicans work, that's racial profiling, that's discrimination, that's, the government shouldn't be discriminating against that. It's everyone's supposed to be equal. So yeah, of course, let's just go do it to everyone so we can not be accused of being discriminatory at all. But what he's suggesting, though, is to go to every company and check all the employees and not single out one industry. That's show me your papers. That's making people prove their innocence, which is absurd. That flies in the face of everything that a free society stands for. I know we don't exactly live in a free society, but you know, people like to pay lip service to it. So at least try a little bit instead of saying no. We should have immigration agents go to everywhere, just knock on your door and say, "Hey, you got your paperwork? You here legally? Oh, you can't prove it? Come with us. You're getting deported."
Yeah, and this guy who commented, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. Goes to work every day, works hard, raises family, does things right. But if you wonder, and I hate making the comparison, and so does everyone else, but if you wonder how it happened in 1930s Germany, he just spelled it out for you. He's probably a nice guy, does the right thing, and he just said the government should be going door to door checking everyone for their papers. Yet we're the crazy ones, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's scary. I think that's very scary. And I hope he listens to this, and I hope he reconsiders what he's saying, because that's, I don't think you want to argue that. I don't think that's the path you want to go down. That's not good.
And I agree. I don't think he realized what he was saying.
I hope he didn't. And I hope he reconsiders it, because now let's make the case as to why what they're doing is immoral. So we can put that out there. I mean, otherwise we just sound like we just hate the government. Right. But the case, you know, you have people who, we've already discussed all these points, but people living wherever they live, we'll say in Mexico, hear about a job in Pennsylvania. They come here and they take the job at an agreed upon wage. They live in a house that was presumably they're paying rent. The person who owns the property knows they're living there. It's voluntary for them to be there. We're assuming they're not breaking in or living on someone's property without their permission. Everything there is voluntary. They show up every day to work. They get paid. They eat. They spend their money. They send some of it back home, apparently. Then someone knocks at the door, asks for their papers. They don't have them. They get thrown in jail and sent home. What is so wrong with that?
I mean, there was no actual crime committed. It's the crime that they're saying happened is completely victimless.
Yeah, there is no crime. The reason it is a crime, any normal person. So, say the guy lived just north of the Rio Grande instead of just south. Now, that same situation, same thing that happened, no crime is committed. But the mere fact that the guy started on the other side of the river now makes it a crime. There's no victim there. There is no crime. And you're taking this guy and you're making, you know, essentially maybe ruining his life, although he may just come right back because there's no hope for him where he came from. But it's a big setback for sure.
Oh, yeah. We can't just look at this on the surface. We as in everyone. Because I know a lot of people like to say, well, it's the law, and therefore it's wrong to break the law because it's the law. But that's kind of circular reasoning. There should be, if something is against the law and you want to use some sort of force and make it punishable, and there's got to be a reason for it other than just that someone wrote it on a piece of paper. I mean, we know it's wrong to murder people, and it's against the law to murder someone, not because someone just wrote it down one day and said, "Hey, I think we should have this law that you shouldn't murder people." Oh, okay. No, it's you're violating someone's right to self ownership.
Right, it's like theft, same thing. The reason theft is wrong isn't because it's against the law. The reason it's wrong is because you're violating someone's property.
Right.
Whereas getting a job somewhere because you came from the wrong place doesn't seem to be like there's any victim or there's any crime. It's just written on paper and they get rounded up, sent to jail, and sent back home.
Right. And let's not – you can't use the argument, no, there is a victim because they took someone – they took a job that a legal citizen would have taken. Yeah, but I mean, let's say this commenter and I were both going for the same job, and he got the job over me. I can't say I'm a victim there. He got the job and I didn't. I mean, that's kind of life. If he's not directly harming me, if he's not violating my rights somehow, and getting a job over me is not a violation of my rights, then.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, if you go down to the Ben Franklin Bridge tomorrow morning at rush hour, you're going to see a lot of cars crossing both ways. There's a lot of people coming from New Jersey into Philadelphia, and there's some people going from Philadelphia into New Jersey. Nobody complains that New Jerseyans are taking Pennsylvanians' jobs.
Right.
I never actually heard that argument made that, like, we have to do something about all these people from New Jersey coming and taking our jobs. But if if we drew a line there and called it the People's Republic of New Jersey, now it would be New Jerseyans taking our jobs, even though the same exact thing is going on.
Right.
Suddenly becomes a job depending on what border you make it. So I have nothing else to add, I don't think, unless we want to just keep going. Do you have anything you want to say on this?
No, we're kind of hard.
We were hard for a reason, and
right.
You know,
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not saying it was unjustified, but
no, and you know, we're happy you came to the site, and we're happy you gave us the thoughts. He wrote a decent amount there. I like that. We want that. We want the discussion. Hopefully, he listens to this, and hopefully, he rethinks his position. And if not, come back at us. Tell us where we're wrong. I'd love to hear from you. But you know, this is what we think, and we're going to be honest with you. So. If you disagree, let us know.
Yeah, it's important to look into this stuff and not just take everything for granted that you think, and not to say that, oh, we're the keepers of all truth. We do think we're right, obviously, and we think we can back it up pretty well. But it's important to have introspection, and if he comes back and counters a point with something and we can't answer it, then, you know, we got to look in the mirror too and say, hey, why
reconsider our stance.
Right.
I think most people out there think they're right. No one walks around saying I'm wrong, but I'm going to think this anyway. So, you know, one time I was a neocon conservative Republican, but even at that time, I would have never argued for the government to go door to door at every company and ask for papers. That is absurd. And I don't think he really meant that or saw what he or realized what he was saying. And I hope he reconsiders that one, because we don't need that to be common. Yeah. But I probably thought a lot of these things, though, back then. And by having discussions, by reading, I changed my mind. I realized I was wrong. And, maybe I could be wrong now. If you have a better answer, come back at me. I'd be happy to reconsider my position if you make solid points.
Absolutely. So, do you have anything for the free market story or success story?
Ooh, I wasn't even thinking that. I was too hung up on going door to door with checking for papers. I don't. Do you?
I do. I was hoping you had one, because I'm going to waste this one this week.
Oh, okay.
I already got the tractor thing in. But, yeah. So I was working on my tractor this weekend.
Of course.
And I had to replace the clutch buttons, and there was a leak at the transmission that I had to fix, a couple other things. So I took stuff apart, did the work, put it back together, and was going to start it up to make sure everything was good, no leaks and everything, and the clutch was working well. And I couldn't find the key. I have no idea where I would have put this key. There's two places it would have been. In the ignition of the tractor or on my kitchen counter. It is neither place. It is nowhere else. I've scoured everywhere in the garage, everywhere in the house. I can't find it. So does that mean I can't use the tractor anymore? It does not. What's nice is that these tractors use a universal key. So that means my brother has a key because he has the same kind of tractor. So the wonderful thing that I'm going to do this week is borrow the key from my brother, go to a local hardware store, and they will make a copy of the key. And it's going to cost, I don't know, a couple bucks.
If that.
Right. So something that's like kind of complicated to do with hand tools.
I would never be able to do that.
Yeah. That I can just show up at a store and say, hey, make a copy of this, please. And say, okay. And what, less than a minute later, I have an identical key that I can use. That's
so
pretty
neat. Think
neat.
About that. How expensive do you think that would be to do on your own? Start from scratch, make a copy of a key. You think it would be like $2, a dollar?
Well, how much do you consider your time costs?
Yeah.
Because
time, but really, I mean,
because you don't have the tooling, which is also very, very expensive. But hey, it's if you own a hardware store, you're in that business. You can say, hey, this piece of equipment costs. I have no idea how much a key machine costs. But let's
throw
say
out a random
$5,000.
Right.
You say that I think that I can attract enough people that I can make money off spending $5,000. I've made copies of keys before after I locked myself out of the house.
Nice.
And there's no way it would have been worth it for me to say, hey, I want some spare keys. Let me buy this machine for $5,000. And make a spare key. It's totally not worth it. And then even if I said, well, I could probably sell my services, it's going to be really difficult for me to market it to people that, hey, I can make copies of keys. But there's no, since I don't do the volume of it, I'm probably going to have to charge more than a hardware store. So it's.
But they're able to do it very cheap and be profitable. Otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Absolutely. So just another one of those things where we take for granted and don't consider how that all kind of works itself out.
Right. Nobody told that hardware store to be there. The guy just saw an opportunity and took it. No one said he has to have a key cut machine. He just realized people are going to come to a hardware store looking for keys. I'm going to have that machine. No one had to direct it. It just happened. And the person who made the machine and the parts for the machine, who knows where they are, what they do, or even if they knew they were making a key cutting machine. None right. of it matters. It just all comes together and happens.
Yep. It's a beautiful thing. So with that, I think we can wrap up our episode this evening. Again, the show notes page is mcflugel.com/38. We'll have a link to the blog post that we're referring to, which will have our guest's comment on there. And that page will also have the link to the Philly.com article. And also be sure to subscribe to us on either iTunes or Stitcher. Also on YouTube. Again, this is on the show notes page. And subscribe to our email list. We're going to be doing some cooler things with it. And
absolutely. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
If you've heard these arguments before, share this podcast with the people making the arguments. See what they think about it. And we're always available if they have questions. Post them on the site. We'll respond.
Absolutely. We can't promise everyone a podcast episode for your comments. Just
no, but if you pack it with enough stuff like this, maybe we will.
Yeah. If you make it worth it, if you make it worth our time, then, you know, maybe.
Yeah, so actually I want to thank him for doing this because he put a lot there and it was a lot to talk about. And these are common things we hear, except for that last part, which I just can't get over. I'm sorry. But all the rest of it we hear all the time. And so I would say they're – I don't want to use the word legitimate, but they're common reasons why we need ICE to get rid of these people. And I don't think any of them are good arguments, even if they are common. And a lot of people – and a lot of smart people even think these things. I don't think they're good, and I'm happy to talk about them. So anyway, that's enough. I'll get off. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
How do you ruin a quinceañera party?
I don't even know what that is.
It's like the Sweet 16 party for
Michigan. Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know how.
Just add ice.
Badoon.
See you next week.
Peace.